Hello and welcome to the Target Podcast powered by Hollywood Bets. I'm your host, Deshaun, and with me in studio today are Premier League analysts Mark Stradom and Nigel Nyker. Gentlemen, welcome.
Good morning, gents.
How's it, gents?
Thanks for the invite, Desh.
Yeah, great to be here.
Anytime, anytime. Of course, it's a shortened Premier League weekend as the FA Cup semi-finals take place. We're going to dive into those two competitions in a bit. Let's start with Saturday's fixture, Luton hosting Brentford.
Yeah, massive game for both teams. They both and bottom end of the table. I think this is more important for Luton. I think they're fighting for survival here. Brentford as well, they're not out the woods yet after their win against Sheffield previously. So I think both teams will be gunning for maximum points here.
Yeah, you know, Luton obviously coming off the back of that 5-1 hammering by Man City. Of course, prior to that on, I believe the head coach, Rob Edwards, came out and said they've got 7 centre-backs at the club, all 7 ones at training. And I believe they have a player on loan from Man City and he was eligible to face his parent club. So yeah, it was a very difficult week for him in lieu of that preparation for Man City. This time out, it's a home game against, I want to say, a beatable Brentford team.
Yeah, most definitely. I think Brentford have been poor as of late. They picked up a good win last weekend against Sheffield, but I think Luton will look at this and target it, especially looking at the places of both these teams. It could be a 6-pointer at the bottom of the table.
Yeah, after 33 matches played, Nottingham Forest sit 1 point ahead of Luton, who occupy 18th spot. So, you know, it could come down to a game of very few margins. Luton, however, winning 6 games off their 33. Do they make it 7 from 34?
I think they're very strong at home, and I think considering they hammering 5-1 last week, they want to turn things around. And yeah, I back them against Brentford.
Your prediction in this one?
I'm going 2-1.
I'm going 2-1 Brentford.
Interesting. All right, moving along here, Sheffield United hosting Burnley. Now, Burnley, of course, not having the best of defensive situations. I think the goal against Everton, where the goalkeeper obviously kicks it into Calvert-Lewin last time out, I think they were on track for a win against Brighton. And then, of course, tragedy struck and the ball found its way into the back of the net. Does something that happened this time again?
Yeah, this is a 6-pointer for either team. Relegation battle. Both teams struggling offensively, defensively. So it's going to come down to fine margins. I hope Burnley can do it for the sake of Lyle Foster. Shout out Lyle Foster. I just hope they can do something on their end. You know, they're in a difficult position for both, but I think both teams will be motivated by the circumstances that they find themselves in. So it's going to be a good game end to end.
Yeah, I agree. I think both teams in desperate need of points, so going to scrap it out. I don't think I can separate them, so I'm going both teams to score.
Of course, the Sheffield United coach, Chris Wilder, I don't think he started. I think Paul Heckenbottom started as a manager this season, if I'm not mistaken. However, let's look at Vincent Kompany. He's been with Burnley since the beginning of the season. He's been with them last season. Does the hierarchy keep faith with him? Have you seen enough to say, this is the guy we need as we build a maybe 3 to 5 year project?
Yeah, I think if you're going to stick with him as like they've done in the Premier League, then you might as well stick with him in the Championship to bring them back up. Maybe consider changing your playing style if they are going to come back up again. So these are things that they should consider. But I feel like he is a good manager. Just need to iron out playing styles and how they will be a Premier League team again.
Nigel, when you say playing style, of course, are you talking about playing the ball out from the back? Because, you know, playing the ball out from the back against the Championship team and playing the ball out from the back against Premier League teams, it's chalk and cheese.
100%. And I think they've realized that the hard way this season.
Yeah.
I think if they go back to the Championship, they walk it and they come back straight up. Yeah. It's just that the quality in the Premier League is so high. If you don't have the players to do it, you get found out.
Yeah, and it's not just a scenario that's only to Burnley. I think United as well have been trying to play that same style. I look at Everton last time out against Chelsea. I think Jordan Pickford was caught lacking. Out, yeah.
So we can't forget what Kompany did last season in the Championship with Burnley. Through that playing style, they ran away with the league. And obviously coming to the Premier League, it's a different animal, and playing in that way could make or break you. And like Nigel said, you definitely need the players to play that playing style. And I think that's where they got caught out this season. But I think Company as a good coach, you can see his playing style already. You can see his tactics. So I think they should keep him. And if they do what they did in two seasons ago in the championship, they definitely come back.
All right. Who's going to take the 3 points here?
I'm going Burnley 2-1.
I'm going squad draw 2-2.
All right. Wolves are hosting the Gunners. Of course, this one is at the Molineux. Arsenal not in the best space mentally. Of course, this is before their midweek tie against Bayern Munich in the UEFA Champions League as they look to navigate that second leg quarterfinal.
Massive. Yeah, I think it's going to be a bit of a difficult one for the team to pick themselves up mentally, especially in the Champions League. But yeah, a tricky one at Wolves, so let's see how the team react to it.
Yeah, I think Arsenal, they have a long run of difficult fixtures coming up, especially with Champions League tonight. Arteta's really got his work cut out for him coming up. So, and Wolves are not an easy team to beat. They're a tricky team. They have very good players as well that can hurt you at any time. But I believe Arsenal will come out top in this one.
Yeah. What gives you that confidence? Because historically speaking, this is where Arsenal dropped the ball.
No, I think they've learned from last season. You can see it, the way they played. Unfortunately, they lost against Aston Villa, which potentially could kill their title hopes. But worth saying that, I think they've improved a lot defensively. I think the numbers are there. The numbers don't lie. So I think they've improved. The mentality's changed. So I think it's a different Arsenal. We just need to get over the line. Like I mentioned with the Aston Villa game, they were much better than us in the second half, which I know Arteta will analyze and make sure that we get it right, especially with the Champions League game and coming in against Wolves. So there's a lot of games. There's still a lot of points. We're only 2 points behind City. So
yeah, Mark is calling a win for Arsenal. Can you see that as well?
I back it because I feel like they will react to the previous result of losing at home. So I think Arsenal go there and find a way to win.
All right. Sunday's tie sees Everton up against Nottingham Forest. A very, very difficult fixture for both teams. For both I want to say they both need this one.
Yeah, I think Sean Dyche coming off the biggest defeat in his career, 6-0. So it's something that he will be seething and get the players on his side to get a positive result, most definitely.
Yeah, it's just a one win across the previous five league outings for both of these teams.
Yeah, they're really struggling, Everton, on the field and off the field. There's so much happening at Everton Football Club now at the moment. It's crazy. I think the players mentally are drained. We know Sean Dyche's style of football is basic: kick the ball, score the goals, survive. But at the moment, it's not happening that way. Especially after the 6-0, I think the players need to bounce back. And I think having home ground advantage could help them in this one.
All right, your prediction in this one?
I see a score draw 2-2. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I can't see them separated. I think these two teams cancel each other out on the day.
All right. The next fixture sees Crystal Palace hosting West Ham United. Now, of course, Oliver Glasner doing an incredibly good job since being appointed as Crystal Palace manager. Now, obviously, the Eagles currently sit 14th. Just the one win in five, but I want to say they've been signs of his impact at the club.
Definitely. And I don't think you go to Anfield and win by fluke. I think it was a tactical masterclass. And they have the players, exciting players to do it as well. Eze, top.
He certainly had an impact on the team since he's come in. And also getting their main players back with Eze and Olise just gives him a different dimension. And like Nigel mentioned, going to Anfield and getting a 1-0 is huge, especially coming up now towards the end of the season, going into those last few matches for Palace. I think it's a huge momentum booster. And I think they'll fancy themselves against West Ham, who have injuries themselves and are not performing at the best as well.
But further to that, I believe West Ham are still involved in the European competition, if I'm not mistaken. They are paired up against Leverkusen, so you know, we're not sure what that game could look like and what ramifications it could have when they play Palace.
I think that tie is over because the first round was 2-0 already. They just won the league in quite good fashion, so I think that tie is over for West Ham.
All right. Your prediction?
A difficult one. Yeah, I'm going score draw 2-2 again.
Yeah, I think score draw. I'm going 1-1.
All right. Aston Villa hosting Bournemouth Outfield. Now, of course, Villa are sitting pretty in the top four. They've opened up a 3-point gap over Tottenham. Of course, Tottenham have the game in hand. Tottenham's fixture schedule is very difficult. So, you know, as it stands, I kind of want to say Villa have one hand on the top four spots.
Yeah, I think they've done it. They've done an incredible job so far. And I think their home form is testament to where they are right now. They've also got some big scalps, home and away against Arsenal, home against City. So,
a bit of a cheeky smell from you.
It's envious.
They outsmarted, they outfoxed us.
100% it's envious because, I mean, Emery didn't have a great spell at Arsenal. And then for him to come back and do the double over Arsenal, it's a bit poetic. So, I mean, you got to admire it and you got to also give them credit, 100%.
I totally agree with what Nigel's saying. And I think, personally, I think they're the best team to take fourth place after the top three out of Villa, Tottenham, Newcastle, Man United. I think they're the best to take that position. And after the win, I think they'll be excited for the Champions League spot from now until the end of the season. I think they'll be picking up maximum points.
Of course, two informed strikers will go head-to-head. Of course, I'm talking about Dominic Solanke at Bournemouth and then Ollie Watkins at Villa. I believe Watkins is sitting on maybe 19 goals, if I'm not mistaken. Solanke on 17.
Yeah, it's been a good scoring season for strikers this season. I think most of the teams, their strikers have been doing a good job this season, getting on the score sheet. So it's going to be, I think there's goals in this one.
Yeah. Of the two, which one has impressed you more, Nigel? Because, you know, I want to say Solanke to get 17 goals from that Bournemouth team compared to Watkins getting 19 from that Villa team.
Yeah. I think, like you say, it's hard to, it's equally as good, I think.
I think, for, like you said, with Solanke getting that many goals with a Bournemouth team makes you think if he's playing with a better team, with no disrespect to Bournemouth, would he get more than 20? And same with Watkins. I think he's an outright number nine. There's no fancy tricks to his game. Mm. It's just straightforward, getting between the lines, score the goals, like he did against Arsenal.
I think, in my opinion, if I were to like tip in someone's favor, it would be Ollie Watkins because his goals are coming from non-penalty goals. It's only goals, pure goals. And if you look at he's also leading Villa into a top four charge and playing in Europe. So maybe those factors would tip in his favor.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Solanke, though. Top player.
Of course, who comes out top in this one?
I'm giving this one to Villa. They got home ground advantage, so, and they're coming off a good win. Champions League hopes, so I'm giving Villa 3-1.
Yeah, I agree. I think they tie it up here at home and push on for the top four position.
All right, the final fixture of the league weekend sees Fulham hosting a Liverpool outfit who are left licking their wounds. Of course, I'm talking about the defeat to Atalanta, the defeat to Crystal Palace. Of course, they're going to play Atalanta again away from home, but not the best time, I should say.
I think this could be tricky for Fulham. Why I'm saying that, because Fulham could fancy their chances watching Crystal Palace's performance, or it can backfire and Liverpool could take advantage of them attacking them. You get what I'm saying? So, but they still got another game against Atalanta, like you said, but I see Liverpool having enough to beat this Fulham team.
Yeah, I agree. I think Liverpool will have just enough. I mean, you coming off the back of two home losses, that is just more than enough to gain a reaction from this team. See Fulham rolling over though. I think they will put in a fight.
Yeah.
I thought they were good this season, very exciting team to watch and score a lot of goals as well. So yeah, I see an exciting game.
Yeah, you know, I kind of wonder if Klopp is actually tired and it's starting to show, because you know, it wasn't that long ago when people were talking about four trophies, a quadruple, he's going to go out to the bang. Now it's safe to say the Premier League is no longer in his hands. Was it ever in his hands? I'm not so sure.
It's
the title, the European competition, I think that they got beaten 3-0. Again, that tie is not over, but a 3-0 loss at home, it's nothing to be going. FA Cup, knocked out.
If you look at the job he's done over the 7-8 years, he has to be tired. he's got to be tired. I think the way Liverpool play, the training they get, what they've done in the period that he's been there is incredible. So I don't blame him if he's tired. If he needs a break, he deserves it. So, yeah, that's it.
I think maybe I'm talking more short-term of late because, like I said, his team is looking a bit beatable right now. And before that one, I believe they played another team in home soil, a lackluster team. It might have been Brighton. They were 1-1 and then were 1-1 until about the 70th, maybe 80th yeah. minute or something, and then a quick fire double saw Liverpool win the game 3-1. But I want to say the signs are there.
Yeah, I agree. I think Liverpool are a very transitional team. They allow the team to play transitional moments so they can counter-attack that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that invites pressure. It invites chances. Mm. So you will see a game where Arsenal and City control 80 to 90% of the ball, considering Liverpool probably control like 60% of the ball. Mm. The games are basketball-like in nature. So in the Premier League, you're going to be found out, especially against such top quality players. Mm. So, yeah, like Guardiola says, control wins you title. So if you're not going to control the game, you're going to allow teams in. So,
all yeah. right. Are Liverpool going to win this one? Is he going to go and maybe mount a late title charge?
I think Liverpool turn things around. Yeah. After two losses, they get the win here.
Yeah, I think so too. Liverpool, 2-0.
All right, let's turn our attention over to the FA Cup semi-final now. I'm going to start with the fixture on Sunday, that being Coventry United hosting Manchester United. Now, obviously, Coventry's form in the Championship has been a bit of a mixed bag. United themselves have been a bit of a mixed bag. Glimpses against top opposition, and then, you know, they come and play a lackluster Bournemouth team and get smashed.
Yeah, I think consistency has been the biggest problem for United. I don't think it's been anything else. I think they've got the coach, they've got the players, they've got everything there. So it's just of getting consistency and playing Coventry. I think they will come out and flex their muscles against a Championship team. I don't think any of the players there will take it easy if they go down to Coventry.
Yeah, I agree. I think United are in desperate need of something to give back to their fans, and getting into the FA Cup final will be something that they can cherish against a Coventry team, which has done well to get into a semi-final mm. spot as well. Give them credit. But yeah, United should be winning.
Mm. I want to ask you, gents, do you not think that it could be a mixed sort of mentality from those United players? Because I have seen sort of cracks in the team. And then you look at a Coventry team who's going to come there with all guns blazing. I mean, they're going home after this. They might as well take the fight to United, who concede.
I think they're also the tournament's top highest scorers as well, Coventry, because they've been in this competition for a longer period than the other teams because they started earlier. So they've got goals in them. And yeah, United are leaky at the back, so...
Yeah, I think they have to be careful in this one about attacking one way. I think United have the players to counter-attack them and kill them off. But credit to Coventry for making it this far. So they have to be careful. They have to get tactics right. They have to get gameplay right. And then it has to be applied 100% against a good United team.
All right. Who takes the game in this one?
United, hands down for me.
Yeah, I agree. Manchester United to get into
so
the
90
final.
Minutes then, eh? No penalties.
No, 90 minutes for me. I think
yeah,
Rashford, Hoyland, Garnacho.
Too good for them.
I don't think the Championship defenders will have enough in stopping them.
Okay. The blockbuster tie sees Manchester City hosting Chelsea. Now, of course, we can always speak volumes about Man City, but Chelsea's Cole Palmer has literally taken his team to the promised land. Like, I don't think anybody could have seen this panning out, you know. Of all the players Chelsea signed, this one has just taken the cake.
Yeah, I think he's been a shining light in this terrible Chelsea team. I think they'd probably be fighting relegation if it wasn't for him.
Yeah.
Just a top player, technically gifted, taking responsibility as well for his team at such a young age. So yeah, just
all around quality. I think we've seen glimpses of him at City where he was getting his 20 half an hour. We saw the signs. We knew, everybody knew he was going to be a quality player. We just didn't know it would be this good. And for the fact that he decided to leave and take the responsibility on his own just shows what a good player and how well his mind is to go to Chelsea and take the responsibility and take them all the way to the top. So I think he's a top player. I think he has a bright future. And Chelsea are very lucky to actually have him in that squad.
Yeah, 100%. Of course, sitting behind him is Enzo as well as Caicedo. Of course, you're looking at maybe 250...
most expensive midfielders in the world.
Maybe 300 million pounds.
Yeah.
Splits over three players in the midfield of the park. And I'm saying they still might not bust that midfield like you would expect them to.
Yeah, I think Chelsea bought so many players and sports is built on relationships. So I think the more time they spend together, it will get better. It has to get better. I think the players they bought in, they can't get worse. I think with Pochettino there, the young squad they have, it can only go upwards from here. So I think in time to come, this Chelsea squad could be dangerous. If they stick together, they have plenty of talent in the squad, especially with Fernandes in the midfield. Caicedo, like you said, controlling. They still got Sterling. They've got Cole Palmer. They've got Mudrik. Jackson is not the best. He's not a polished product, but he gets goals. He's dangerous. He's always a threat in the box. So I think the more time they spend with each other, this Chelsea team could come together.
Yeah, let's see if that can come to fruition. I don't think so. Poch has done a good job, but not good enough. I think with those world-class players, I expected more. Like you do say, it does take time because you need to form the relationships, especially when you change the team so crazily. Yeah. I think there's like 40 players in that Chelsea team. So, yeah, I think they do give City a run, but I think City are too strong for them this final.
Yeah, let's move the conversation over to the blue half of Manchester. Now, I have to ask you openly, are we looking at back-to-back trebles?
Why not? Why can't we say it? They en route to doing it. They're 2 points ahead in the league with 7 games to go. We know the runs that City can go on. Last season, they won 20 games in a row, so 7 games is nothing. Champions League semi-finals, they've got Real Madrid at home. We know what they did to them last season. FA Cup, they got Chelsea. We don't know who will show up for Chelsea on the day. So
it's only one man.
They can't do it.
Been one man.
They've got the squad. They've got a robot striker that scores goals like nobody's business. They've got a midfielder who passes the ball 1,000 times. They've got the brainer who's got the most assists for the last 5 years.
And you haven't even mentioned Foden.
I haven't even mentioned Foden, who's, for me personally, been the best player in the Premier League this season. I think he's been incredible. He is the go-to man. So why not a treble back-to-back?
Yeah, it's scary, actually.
Frightening.
When you think of it, the train that Manchester City are. They've just got superstars all over the pitch, and they turn the screw at this time of season. So they've been there, done that, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do go on to create another crazy feat.
Yeah, I guess that does put him, I mean, he's already up there with the goats of the game, but this is just superstar status, like legendary.
You sound so sad when you're saying
it. Because I kind of, what does this say to global competition? Because to do a domestic double, it's okay, it's understandable, well done, but to then spread your wings...
To the Champions League
as well.
And also,
and say, you've made your domestic a walk in the park, you know? Because this would be, if they win a treble, it'll be the fourth consecutive league title, never been done since the inception of English football. I think 1879 was formed.
That got to come down to Pep. I got to give the credit to him.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's a very...
I think he's changed the game. I think... he's got the blueprints. I think he's the best tactically, offensively. I think even recruitment, he's good. I think he's, if you're looking for a boss level in a game, I think he's the last level. I think the only thing for Pep to do now is win the World Cup, and he's clocked the game. There's nothing left for him to do. Like you mentioned, back-to-back trebles. He's done it at Barca. He's went to Bayern Munich. He's now at City, back-to-back trebles.
The crowning jewel was the Champions League. I think nobody really gave him his flowers until he brought a Champions League
exactly.
home. And for them to reach that final, if I'm not mistaken, they got defeated in the final.
Was it by Chelsea?
Yeah. And you saw the players like Aguero, and there's one or two others that I think left that season, maybe Fernandinho, if I'm not mistaken, and it was heartbreaking. And I thought Man City were cursed at that point. You know, I think everybody kind of believed those rumors, but the curse from Africa or something like that. And now it's he's won it. He's probably going to win it again. And then you look at like three Champions League finals in 4 years.
Yeah. You gotta give the man his flowers and all the credit, and also to the players as well to still have that fight in them to do it again after winning the treble is also something for the players. So I think it's an incredible team, incredible coach, and if they do it again, I'll just be happy to witness it.
Yeah, I agree. I think what we're witnessing is just unprecedented. Like this could be their sixth league title in seven. People talk about Klopp competing with Pep, but Pep has won 5 out of 6, you know. Well, where's the competition?
Where's the competition? Second place, what does that get you?
Yeah, so I think that's the level. And I think as Arsenal fans, we started to learn that very quickly. Yeah. I mean, we lost one game all year and we dropped down to third. And now these are our top. That's the level. If you're not winning every week, that's the level Pep sets.
Yeah.
So I think, we're very grateful to witness it firsthand, but just insane.
Yeah, I guess when we have this treble talk, I want to say maybe they steamroll Chelsea this weekend. I don't know. Can you guys kind of see that? Or is it going to be the Cole Palmer show at Wembley?
With 7 games left to go in the league, Champions League's almost done, and also semi-finals, I think they are fired up for this. Mm-hmm. I don't think they lose any of these games going forward. Any of them.
I agree. I think they've been there, done that before. These boys know how to navigate the end of season pressure. When things are going tough, when you've got a win against, with their backs against the rope. I think also Foden has come to the table a lot and replaced a lot of those goals that Gundogan used to get. Mm-hmm. And vital goals that
I think it was Gundogan who scored the first goal in the FA Cup last season, the FA Cup final.
Yeah, against United.
Against United.
7 seconds in.
Yeah, and you look at, I believe he scored, Gundogan scored a lot in
vital,
the tail end of last
goals,
season.
Yeah,
you know, he scored, in fact, most of his goals probably came in the last 10 games of the season.
Yeah, especially the ones against Newcastle and stuff. So Foden is the key man. De Bruyne will be fully fit. We know what he delivers. He doesn't need much to show up in a game.
Haaland, but honestly, like he hasn't had that big of a season for City this year. In fact, I want to say it's one of his underwhelming seasons. And because we've seen what he can do, we know he is that player, the game changer, the go-to. But right now, what Foden has done since signing the long-term deal with Man City, of course, putting pen to paper, I think it was a 5-year deal. He's just delivered.
Yeah, I think tying him down to a long-term contract was a good thing. But back to De Bruyne, we know when he had his injury, his first game back, I think he got 2 assists and a goal or something. So that man doesn't need to play many games to have an impact on the game or the team. And if I can see that City team, when he's in the team, everyone is comfortable. They know Haaland himself knows the ball is coming. Foden knows the ball is coming. Just be in the right space at the right time. The opportunities are there. So I don't think anyone should sleep on De Bruyne.
Definitely. I think half the job is done for you. And Haaland doesn't even need half the job done for him at times.
Yeah.
So De Bruyne puts it on a plate. It makes the rest of the team more confident going forward. So, this team can be scary at times.
All right, gents, let's wrap this one up. I need your predictions here.
I'm going City 2, Chelsea 0.
I'm going City 2-1. Chelsea got no chance.
All right. I guess that's kind of... You're saying an all-Manchester
final? All-Manchester final. City to win the final.
Interesting. Well, we're going to have to wait and see how that one plays out. Of course, it's been an absolute treat unpacking all things English football related to you, gents. Until next weekend. Cheers.
Shut, thanks,
Shut, gents.